So here we are. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming along to do a recording with me. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of The Places We Call Home, where we celebrate the tenacity and resilience and ingenuity of people who have moved from their original homes all across the globe to live here in the US. I'm sitting today with a fabulous, beautiful lady that I can't wait for you to get to know, listeners. Her name is Chris, but we're also nibbling away at our lunch. What are you eating?
I'm having a shawarma, chicken shawarma.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah.
And I'm having a homemade chicken soup with noodles and vegetables.
Sounds really good.
And we're going to try and not slurp or make too many background noises. But we're going to nibble and just have fun and chat about you and your life and what it's been like. So I would love you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about where you're from, and how you came to be in America, Chris.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Yolanda, for having me, for having this conversation. I think it's a great opportunity to exchange expats stories.
You're welcome.
I love your idea, your show. I think it's really nice. A little bit about myself. So my name is Cristiane Dias. I am from Brazil. And I've been in the U.S. now for a year. I lived here before on and off, like actually back and forth before I got married and after I got married. But we were really between Brazil and the U.S. And this is like my first real like whole year living here in San Rafael.
Without going back and forth.
Yes, pretty much feeling like, okay, now I have my... set my feet here. And the reason I'm here is because of love.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it. It's just so nice to be able to say that because, yes, and I never dreamed of living in the U.S., as many Brazilians do. But I'm here because that's where I found love. And my husband, whose name is also Chris. So we are Chris and Chris. It's Christopher. So he's American, and we met in Brazil 11 years ago, precisely. But we only got married in 2019. So our story, our love story, has some gaps.
Okay. So where in Brazil did you meet each other? What was that story? Tell me. Because I think I'm being a little bit nosy, but I'm just intrigued.
It's really cool. We met in Jericoacoara, more known as Jeri, which is a beach up in the northeast in the state of Ceará. And it's just a beautiful place. First of all,
you met on a beach in Brazil.
Well, we met at a party. It's a beach town, but it's a very small town. It used to be a fishing village, and nowadays it's a very touristic destination, very international, in fact. But it's a little bit beach town surrounded by dunes, like in the middle of a national park, which is very difficult to get. You only get, there's a plane that gets nearby an hour from it. But back when we met, there was no airport. You had to drive 4 hours, or if you were in a pickup truck, or 6 hours on a bus to get to this place. We met at a party in this beach town. Forró party. Forró is a Brazilian rhythm.
Yes.
Some kind of dance. And it's very typical from that part of Brazil. And so we met randomly in this party. He came up to talk to me in Portuguese.
Oh,
and
That's nice.
Very nice. I was so surprised. He asked if I wanted to teach him how to dance forró.
Oh, I see.
But he asked me in Portuguese. And I was intrigued. Okay, this guy is Portuguese to me, and I knew he was a foreigner. And I could speak English, but I thought it was so cute, so nice that he was trying his Portuguese. And I know how important it is to be able to try when you're learning a language. It's a big effort.
This is a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, this is awesome. So, and yeah, that's how we met. It was like this needed connection. It was the funny thing when we, you know, we exchanged our names, which was the same name.
Yeah. Was it love at first sight? I'm just intrigued. I love it. I love your story.
I wouldn't say it was love at the first sight because, I don't know, it was a connection. There was a connection, really easy. We were talking and then we were dancing and then we were enjoying ourselves for the next couple of days. I had taken a long vacation. I went there for 20 days.
20 days?
20 days. That was my summer. It was carnival time, actually. Okay. So, you know, Brazil,
yes,
it's the summertime, carnival time. So that's normally when business are not happening, everybody's doing their
down tools, everyone, so it's party time.
Yeah, so that was my time, my vacation, my yearly vacation. And since Jiri is my favorite place, I was there and I rented a house, I was with some friends. And so we spent a week, it was awesome. But he had other plans for carnival. This was pre-carnival. So he went to Recife, which is far. Recife is the capital of another state in the northeast of Brazil. So after a week of love and fun and just being very light and enjoying each other's company, he had to leave. I said, I'm sorry, I'm staying here because I rent this house.
Nice to have met you. See you later, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever.
That's life.
Yeah, totally. No expectations. And then he left. Then he knew I was staying there and he had more time. He wasn't a long trip around Brazil. I think 4 weeks of traveling over Brazil. And so he decided to go back to Jiri. He took a bus from Recife back. It's like 10 hours maybe.
Oh, wow.
8 hours.
Well, you left a good impression of him. You made him happy.
I think so. So, yeah, he came back. And then he stayed with me in the house. Because at that
time, he fell in love with you, basically. That's what it sounds like. I'm just propelling the story. I'm just saying what I think. My listeners are thinking. I'm saying what I'm thinking. I'm imagining he fell in love with you.
I think he fell in love, yes, you know. But, so we stayed another week together. And then it was time to really go back.
Back to America.
Yeah, he was going back to the U.S. and I was going back to Brazil. That's where I am from, Brazil. So that's when we really said, we were sad. I lived in the Bay Area, in Berkeley at the time. And I thought, it's just so far away. And I just didn't have much expectations. We kept talking and in contact, of course, for some time. But then things was just started fading after.
As they do, naturally.
Naturally. But we were Facebook friends.
Okay.
This was 2013. So, and then in 2016, he sent me a message through Facebook saying that he was going back to Brazil on another trip.
To find you. He didn't say that. No, otherwise you would probably think there's a stalker.
So he started his trip in Brasilia this time, his international flight, landed in Brasilia. But 3 months before, he sent me a message asking if I was still living there. And I was so surprised. And so I told him, yes, I am in Brasilia. I'd love to meet. Tell me when you're coming, where you're staying, and then let's meet. And then we met. He arrived. He said, oh, yeah, I'm here. I said, okay, let's go out to dinner. I know he always loved Brazilian music. And it's just when it's just easy, you meet someone, some people with friends, it's like you're 10 years apart, and then you meet again, and it's just...
Like you saw each other yesterday.
Yes, it's just
didn't like skip a beat. That is beautiful.
It's just so nice. It's just so easy. And we found out, I had no idea what was going on in his life, his emotional life. He didn't know anything about my life. But we were both still single, not seeing anyone, you know.
And oh, funny that. Oh, what a coincidence.
Right?
Lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. And then we...
There you go. The rest is history.
Yeah. We reconnected. And since then, this was 2016. And then he left Brasilia with a Livian invitation for me to come to visit him in Berkeley. And which I did. I came in 2017 to visit, to see how was his life here for 3 weeks. And those 3 weeks were wonderful. And... We really, 2017 was a big year. I came to the US 4 times and he went to Brazil once because I work as a graphic designer and I own my own business. So whenever I have my computer, I had much more flexibility to work wherever I was, whereas he didn't. You know, at that time, he worked for a nonprofit in Berkeley. So he really was, you know, stuck to his vacation time. But yeah, so I kept increasing the times of the visits.
Oh, like the frequency.
Yeah.
The frequency and the length of time that you would stay.
Okay. Yeah. We were together, but it was always like, whenever I left, we never had a next date. It was like, okay, I'm leaving. See how things go.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, we could never set the next meeting. Like, whenever we parted, we just...
Denial that you're going to be away from each other. I'm no psychologist, of course, but that's just my feeling. And then the rest is history. You decided to get married. Yeah. And you... What was that decision like to move here? Because as you just said, you've got a business over there. And... By you saying you've got a business over there, it's not just a business. You're an entrepreneur. You're highly successful. You're well established in Dale with your ceramics business, the whole graphic design. You've got a bit of an empire going on.
Yeah.
And but to leave that, what was that decision like to move here?
I'm still working on that, on this transition. And maybe because I was gotten used to the idea of being back and forth, it took me a long time to really understand that I was moving. Because when we were dating, I was always on a tourist visa. After we got married, we got married just 6 months before the pandemic. For me to finally have my green card and the permission to work and leave in the U.S., it took so long. And because my business was there, I was not concerned about that. I was okay, I'm living my life, you know, managing my business. And I think this last year was the first year that really I felt the impact of that move. Of
this last year, just gone.
Yeah, 2023. That because we lived in Brazil for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Chris quit his job in 2020 and we spent part of the pandemic in Brazil, in Brasilia, which was awesome. He wanted, you know, to live there. He wanted to have that experience. So I was there managing my business, and then the green card came, and it was time to come back. After a year of having the green card, we thought, okay, now it's use it or lose it, and that's why we came back. We were very happy there. He loves Brazil, and I know he loved living in Brasilia, which he never thought he would. So for me, coming back, 2023 was a year I really felt like, I'm gonna do. I had so many projects going on in Brazil and I was managing all that, and I didn't really feel I had the headspace and the mental space to make this transition. So I postponed to 2024. But like I said, I have so many ties to Brazil. But my business is all the graphic design business it's doable. I can do it from wherever I am. The problem is, economically speaking, it's not feasible to live in a very one of the most expensive areas of the US and make money in my Brazilian currency.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Right now this is bad. But it's a very practical matter. If I could, I would totally continue working in Brazil, because I feel so fortunate. I've always had really great clients, great projects. That project that I wanted and I attracted. But being here now, I feel, oh my gosh, how do I manage? So I'm still figuring out.
Okay, because that's the next thing, really, that I'm wondering about, that I ask my guests, that transition, making a life here, considering that you had worked so very hard to establish a very successful life. It's not an existence, a whole life. Your friends, your family, your purpose. I don't want you to start missing it too much. Your whole purpose. You chose love, which is such a noble and a wise thing to do. I understand that. And you moved yourself here to be with the man that you absolutely adore. And so you're having to reinvent yourself. Again, I've made you cry. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because it's like a one-minute question right now. I moved here for love, but what I left there, it's just so much.
Yeah.
All my friends, all my family, all that I've built, which is really tied to Brazilian culture.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure out how to transform that into something that I can do here.
Yes.
And how to make that connection.
Is it connection with people? Is it connection with yourself? What is the, what's stopping you from rebuilding what you had over there?
I think first of all is connection with people, because working by myself in Brazil doesn't really help me to meet a lot of people here. I do have friends who are Chris friends and wonderful people, people from different backgrounds and doing different things. So I feel like I need to build my own network.
Right. Really, okay. Yeah,
it's a really a new beginning. And but yeah, it makes me really divided. I still feel very divided. Do I need to close my chapter in Brazil? That just sounds so radical, right?
It does.
So what I'm trying to figure out is how to bring some of that life that I had in Brazil and connect to some life here. I'm trying to figure it out right now.
I see.
I'm going to start to work with a professional coach to dive into myself and figure out my new passions, my new purpose, or how to transfer this purpose, because I've always worked for a purpose. From a very early age, like when I was like at university, I knew that I wanted to work with culture, with education. And I come from, my background is advertising, but I never wanted to work for big corporations. It was never my thing. It was a dream for a lot of my colleagues, but for me it wasn't. But I know, I think we need to use communication and the power of communication to lift other causes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been so passionate about cultures in general, but I end up specializing my culture. Brazilian culture, which is, I mean, Brazil is such a diverse country.
And there's so many
levels and things to explore. And I think a lot of times developing countries which were colonized, they have their eyes towards the colonizer and do not value so much what
they all have.
Yes. And
to rebuild what you have.
Exactly. And I've always worked for that. That has always been my
favorite. To rebuild...
Yeah,
your culture and your country and everything that it stands for, and all that it could possibly be.
Absolutely, yes. This has been my focus, you know, in my whole using communication, advertising, graphic design, creativity, visual creativity to promote this culture.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I've seen a little bit of your work. It would be nice to put a link on my platforms so that our listeners can go and check out your work and your creativity and how you express your culture. And that is something that I'm really intrigued about, because I feel like the Brazilian culture, as you've said, it's so multi-leveled, it's rich, it's challenging. But I want to hear from you about that culture. I'd love to momentarily experience it through your eyes. What is it like to be in Brazil when you're there? What are you eating? What are you listening? How are you moving around? Take me there for a day with you.
First of all, I think Brazil is a very social place. People live. I learned that by being abroad, how serious Brazilian people take their social lives. It's so much about meeting friends, and there is the party aspect of it, because we're very musical. And I think because of the weather, it's basically a summer throughout the year. There's not really a real winter apart from the south of Brazil. And so it's this hot tropical place. And even me being from the capital, it's a more, you know, administrative city and
right.
less buzzy. But still, I think people are very social. So we love meeting, and there's always some the Brazilian music, which is one of our most beautiful, I think, aspects of cultural speaking.
And when you say Brazilian music, you're talking about samba.
Well, it could be samba, bossa nova, samba rock. We have our rock and roll. We have our own reggae. We have, there is the country music. We have the forró, which is a genre, you know, as a dance and a rhythm. We have frevo, which is another type of dance, very common from the northeast, from Recife. Recife, well, from the state of Pernambuco. What else? Oh my gosh, from the north of Brazil, in the Amazon, you have other rhythms like carimbó, which is beautiful as well.
I want to be there now. I want to be there tasting every single one of those things that you've listed. Yeah. I want to hear it. Yeah. I want to dance too. I'd like to be there. Fantastic. Yeah. Sorry, I've cut you off. What are the flavors of Brazil?
Oh, yeah. The food is another thing, right? Even though I'm going to confess something, I'm not much of a foodie person.
Okay.
But all the tropical fruits, there is a lot of juices and salads and the things that we make with the people our foreigners love. We use the cassava flour as a base.
Oh, yes.
For a lot of dishes.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard so many times people saying, oh, I love pão de queijo.
It's
like
what? What was it?
Pão de queijo is like a cheese bread.
Pão de queijo.
Pão de queijo.
Pão de queijo.
Pão is bread.
Okay.
Queijo is cheese.
Okay.
And it's really a little cheese ball. It's super traditional. Everybody in Brazil loves. It's from originally from the region of Brazil. Minas Gerais is a state in the southeast of Brazil. But it's all over the place. You buy it in frozen at every supermarket. But it's made the base. What makes it special? It's the flour, which it's called the tapioca. I think it's so diverse. And when you go to the Amazon, you're talking about one way of using tapioca. Then you go to São Paulo, you have a lot of people who migrated from the northeast, and you see all these tapiocarias as well. And then you have this açaí, for example, which is a fruit from the Amazon.
Yes, we are familiar with it here.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of açaí places here, but it became like a symbol of the country as well.
Oh.
Because throughout Brazil, you find different ways of using açaí. And if you go to Rio, it will be completely different from the way they use açaí up in the Amazon.
Right. Okay.
I was surprised when I went to the Amazon, which in itself, I think it's a whole different country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just so different and so marvelous and, you know, so incredible. It's very mixed because it's a mix of the African influence, the Portuguese influence, and then the south of Brazil, which was colonized by other Europeans. So you even have cities that speak a language that's a derivation from Italian.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Portuguese, yes. The African influence, I was aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
The English-American influences, you know.
Yeah.
Italian, I didn't know.
Huge Italian community in Brazil. And even like this kind of almost like a dialect in one part of the south of Brazil. But this is not to mention all the hundreds of indigenous languages still spoken.
Of course. Yes.
That we, a lot of Brazilians don't even acknowledge that, but you do have like hundreds, still so many indigenous people that have no connection with each other. They speak completely different languages. And this is fascinating to me because you think, oh, no, we speak Portuguese in Brazil. Well, it's a lot more than that. You have German communities in the south of Brazil as well, Polish.
So, and these are all expats. Migrants who've moved in or originally, or have they been there hundreds of years?
Oh, yeah. I think they migrants from after the end of slavery. There was a big incentive for, you know, for Europeans to migrate. People who have been there, families, yeah, for hundreds of years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Even like a huge Japanese community in Sao Paulo. There's a huge Japanese community, Lebanese communities. Thousands of people.
It's a melting pot.
Absolutely.
That sounds delightful because I can imagine the outpouring of that, the food, as well as the music and everything that you've just said.
Absolutely.
Have I made you even more homesick? I'm so sorry.
A little bit. No, it's great. It's
talking great about the food. I'll tell you what, why don't we take 2 minutes to eat our food?
Okay, good.
I know it's not acai. It's not any of that. It's my homemade chicken soup.
Oh. I'm having this lovely shawarma from this nice restaurant here nearby. Mmm. It's delicious.